You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Those hot takes from a week ago or 2 weeks ago got a little colder last night for some of my fellow members in the media. Yeah, it was going to be a sweep. Giannis, second best player on his own team. Not a closer. Although I might have said that too, that he wasn't a closer. You needed to have Chris Middleton there at the end taking shots, but didn't need him last night. Well, you could have used him, but you didn't have him last night. Giannis put up an incredible performance, and you can't help but like him. I mean, he seems like a really great young man, and the things he said is humility, staying with the team, didn't want to join a super team. It was refreshing. Like, that smile, that was contagious. It was great to see last night. In that city is a great basketball city, and I'm old enough to remember when Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson were there, and Milwaukee won the title 50 years ago. 50 years ago, and Giannis puts up a 50-burger last night. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We'll check in with Ed Werder. He covers the Cowboys. The Cowboys are showing up to camp today. What kind of expectations should we have for the Cowboys? He'll join us coming up in about 20 minutes from now. By the way, yesterday's report about Aaron Rodgers turning down a 2-year extension sounded familiar. It kind of feels like we've already heard that this offseason, and we have a couple of times. And we still don't know the real details here, but one thing has become clear. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to make this easy on the Packers, or the media for that matter. Still hasn't told us anything. All we have is reports from sources, and not any of the useful quotes from Rodgers himself. So now we head into the home stretch. Veterans are supposed to report to camp on July 27th. Rodgers, will he be there? Won't he be there? Definitely the story of the offseason. It was Russell Wilson for a little while. That got put on the back burner and then taken off the stove completely. But don't apologize if you're suffering from Aaron Rodgers fatigue, because I am. We all are. We overanalyze everything. Insiders relying on unnamed sources, and sometimes we end up knowing less than we did when we started. And eventually, the season is going to start, and we hope that we'll be able to move on to the next drama in the NFL. But Adam Schefter had a report yesterday that Aaron Rodgers was offered a 2-year extension. He would be the highest paid player in the game, but then he turned it down, or his agent turned it down. It was presented as news. The timing of it is really tricky for me, because this was reported back in May. Local reporter, I think Bob McGinn is his name, he reported this. Michael Silver, the NFL Network, reported that earlier this summer. So why was it re-reported yesterday with Adam Schefter? Whose agenda does this help? You could say, well, the Packers, hey, we're doing everything we can. We made him the highest paid player, and he still doesn't want to play. Or is it from Aaron Rodgers' camp, where they're saying, this isn't about money? We told you it's not about money. Look at what we turned down. These are the games that are played, and they use us in the media. Now, there's a lot of questions I would have had. If Adam Schefter gets this information, and he's as good as anybody at doing this, better than anybody who does this, if I'm going to have a tweet like that, I at least have to make it a fuller, I have to surround it with some context. That's all. When did this offer happen? Did Rodgers ask for this? I just have to know that. If my source says, hey, by the way, Rodgers, this isn't about the money. He was offered this. Okay. My first question would be, when was he offered this? Did he ask for this? If not, what did he ask for? Why did he pass on this? It's not about the money, so what is it about? I need context with this. That's all. Because I'll talk about the story when I feel like there's a story there. It almost feels like there's more of a story because there isn't a story attached to it. Like, you're going, okay, what is going on here? Where are we? Like, Deshaun Watson, where are we with this story? In 3 months, we haven't heard much of anything with this. Camp starts next week. Is he going? Is he allowed to go? Is he on the commissioner's exempt list? I'm not an insider. It's a thankless job because people usually just remember when you're wrong. Those are the kind of things I'd like to know. I'd just like to know a little more context about this. Did he ask for this? Did they just present it? Are they trying to buy his love? We're down to a caller called in yesterday and said, I'm hearing that Aaron Rodgers is getting his house deep cleaned in Milwaukee or in Green Bay. And then Pat McAfee reached out to Aaron Rodgers to say, can you imagine where we are? Are you getting your house deep cleaned? And Rodgers said no.
Deep clean denial, news at 6.
And then, did he reserve his hangar for a private airplane? We heard that yesterday as well. And maybe those things are true, but, oh, my God. Camp starts. It starts next week. Do I think he's going to show up? Probably not on time. But, oh, my God. You're just going, all right, here we go. These are the two big stories. We cleared up Russell Wilson. At least, I think we did. Seems like he's fine. Seahawks are fine, at least right now. But Green Bay and the Texans, I have no idea right now. Yeah, see.
You just got to get back to the business of winning, Dan. That's just winning Coach Carroll.
Yeah. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Yeah. Boy, the difference. I went back and listened to that. Now, if you juxtapose Russell Wilson when he was with us right after the Super Bowl and what he said when he joined us last week, boy, that was the familiar Russ came back, because that guy in February, that was the honest Russell Wilson Jr. III. That's the unplugged, like, yeah, I got something to say. And I want to say it right now. I'm frustrated. This one, got to put my cleats. He said, got to put his cleats on how many times?
3 times. But lace up the cleats.
Yeah, I got to lace up the cleats, and we got to get back. And
back to business.
Yeah.
Business of winning.
Go Hawks. The business of winning.
I don't even know that he said that. I think I'm making that up, but it sounds good.
No, just throw in a cliche. And Russ was like, no, everything's got to lace up the cleats. Yeah. Go Hawks.
Get back to the business of winning.
Business of winning. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, according to my records, 2021 is lacing up the cleats is the term for Russell Wilson. 2019 was buckle up the helmet.
Yeah.
2020 was to a man.
Yeah, to a man.
Everything was to a man.
I'd have to go back when I was growing up when guys laced up their cleats. I haven't heard that in probably 30 years. We're going to lace up our cleats.
Tighten up the bootstraps.
Yep, we're going to put our pants on one leg at a time. I figured he'd give me that one, too. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Did we change the poll question? Did we go, if my city could acquire an athlete, Giannis, Patrick Mahomes, or Shohei Ohtani? Todd, you're doing the honors since McLovin is on vacation.
We're in transition from the original one to the other one. Right now,
that means you haven't done it.
It's not. But can I share the final result of the first poll as we build the other one?
Can't you just say, no, I didn't put it up yet?
I just can't. It's hard for me to do that. Would you stand outside in the middle of a crowd of 60,000 screaming fans? 67%. No way. 33%. Absolutely. And then we will switch now to the new poll.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, Todd had a bad night last night. He somehow found the negative of 65,000 fans outside the arena. And Todd was 1,200 miles away, but he was getting panic attacks because he could only imagine himself in the middle of 65,000 fans. And what could go wrong?
It just seemed like a frightening experience to be in the middle of that many people outside where you can't get out if you needed to. A safe thing.
But if you just walk on the periphery.
That's true. If you could find a way to be on the outside where there's less people around and you can escape, I would definitely need to be one of those people. But I was thinking about, what if I was right in the middle of that many people? What do you do if for some reason you're not feeling well, you got to go to the bathroom, whatever it is? That's a little
scary. You have a fear of something you'll never do.
I know, but I challenged myself for some reason, and I played a little mental game with myself. What if you were in the middle of that? How would you feel? And then I started, even though the air conditioning was on, I started perspiring, and I felt a little pale, and I went to get some ginger ale.
All right. Thank you, Todd. I need a therapist to understand you. We should have a therapist on speed dial just to say, hey, doc, what did Todd just say?
That would probably be a smart idea.
Giannis was unbelievable last night, 50 and 14. He also had five block shots, and he joined Shaq and as the only players to have three games of at least 40 points and 10 rebounds in the NBA Finals.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
But you have truly a great all-around player because he's been the defensive player of the year and he's won the finals MVP. He's got two MVPs already. So he joins Michael Jordan as the only players in history who have won, I think, an MVP and a defensive player of the year in the or not in the same season. But then I wondered about that because Bill Russell was defensive player of the year. Did they have the honor back when Bill Russell was playing? That's what I'm curious about because Russell was MVP, and of course he won all those titles. I have to believe Bill Russell, he probably did it in the same season where he was defensive player of the year and MVP, and they won the title. Yeah, Paul?
The NBA started the defensive player of the year award in 1982.
Okay. What is this about 1982? That's when sacks were first recorded in the NFL.
Computers? Maybe the era of more computer data? Maybe? Like Commodore 64 type stuff?
But now you have computers that can't you go back and document? Like Bill Russell would have been defensive player of the year probably 10 times. I'm guessing, unless they gave it to Wilt or Clyde Frazier or somebody. But I'm going to guess that Russell would have been in there, but they didn't keep that stat. All right. We'll talk to Ed Werder coming up. Let's get a couple of phone calls here. Logan in Wisconsin. Hey, Logan, what do you have for me today?
Hey, what's up, DP? DP, first-time caller, 5'11", 190 pounds. I was actually out there in the Deer District, and for the bathroom situation, we had people doubling and tripling up to go in the same one.
Oh, boy.
Guys would go in pairs or even three. And then when I was waiting in line, I looked to my right and I saw like people jumping the fence. They shut down the Deer District and put a fence up. So people were just running over the fence like it was Black Friday.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Logan. Well, Fritzy does have a medical card that allows him to cut the line.
Card or not, that does, the way he just described it does not sound like an ideal time, whether you can hold it in or not. That's fences and double three people at the same time squeezing into a porta potty. Are you kidding me?
Daryl in Oregon. Hey, Daryl, what do you have for me?
Hey, Dan, 6'2" and a spongy 215.
All right.
I just wanted to say it's so quick we forget about Colin earlier winning the Open, and I was wondering, whose career would you rather take, his or the Greek Freak right now?
Oh, I'd take the Greek Freak, but thank you, Daryl. Colin Morikawa looks like he's got a great trajectory for his career, but like Giannis could be once in a lifetime kind of player to be able to do what he does, how he does it, and he's really just tapping into his greatness. He's in a small market. He didn't want to join a super team. I don't know what, Colin Morikawa is going to develop into. I do think that there's a lot of Tiger Woods in him with his ability to hit his irons, but I don't know if, is he going to add length? It feels like everybody has length there, but it is a great start. Wonderful start, but I would take the Greek Freak right now. Adam in Wisconsin. Hey, Adam, congratulations. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP, just wanted to say, 5'9", 205.
You sound like you're roughed up a little bit, Adam.
Yeah, I was at the gate, or I was at the district last night. So there was two sets of porta potties. You couldn't see one of them in the overhead. But what the previous caller said is true. It was like a half hour wait before the game started. But the long lines, the beer, porta potties, all that, well worth it to watch your team watch a championship and watch everybody celebrate in a respectful manner. And yeah, as you can tell, my voice is gone, but it was a great time. And the answer, yes, I would do that again, do it over and over again if the Bucks keep doing it.
All right. Well, congratulations, Adam. By the way, the phony Milwaukee Bucks fan, McLovin, he got a box of Milwaukee Bucks gear about 4 or 5 years ago, and then he became a Bucks fan. And McLovin's on vacation, but he did issue a statement through his PR person and sent it to Paulie.
Yeah, he would said he would love to call in. I'm currently on a ship trying to fight off seasickness. That said, Milwaukee, comma, we did it.
He's just
Milwaukee, we did it.
He's such a phony. He's a phony.
Being on a boat battling seasickness sounds pretty real, though.
Oh.
With a couple kids?
Yeah. Have you guys ever had seasickness? Woo! I went on a fishing trip. Down for the count.
Is it like a small boat? Does it have to be rocking, or could it be like just gentle?
Well, this one was rocking.
Oh.
There was not. Although, I guess varying degrees of seasickness. But once it hits you, you're done. There's nothing you can do. You just basically are
putting things in the water and not taking them out anymore.
Are. You're putting in some chum in the water. Yes, Seton.
When I was like, I don't know, 10 years old, 11 years old or something, we went out on this boat called the White Star 3. And it was like 3 hour tour, sort of like Gilligan's Islandish. And we got about 30 minutes in, and everybody except for like me and my mom got seasick on this boat. There's like 20 people. It was like, if you remember that scene in Stand By Me where the Ancient Order of Antelopes throws up all over the women's auxiliary or whatever, everybody was throwing up all over the place. It was the worst boat ride of all time. It was horrible.
That was a blueberry eating contest in Stand By Me. Yeah, it's not pretty. You know, when you put a couple of beers in the cooler and you're going out with buds and you're going to, you're going deep sea fishing.
Yeah.
You know, you get out and you're like, and then everybody else goes, like, they feel bad, but you know, they're still fishing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going, let's turn around. It's like, you're still throwing up. All right. Yeah, Paul.
There's some irony here because Fritzy does not like to do anything or go anywhere, and he's a big anti-nausea guy, but I also think he's a big cruise ship guy.
I am.
I don't think you get seasick.
I'm okay
on a cruise ship
because it doesn't rock all that much unless there's really stormy weather and I got my buffets and everything like that and I'm sitting by the pool. I can deal with the cruise. And I don't have to be on top of thousands of people. You can kind of spread out if you go on.
We'll take a break here. Ed Werder is going
to just start talking. Was I rambling?
Yes.
I was just expressing why a cruise ship isn't exactly an analogy to 65,000.
Take a break here. Ed Werder is going to join us next. RockAuto.com has all the parts your car or truck will ever need. You got some time? They're there for you 24/7. RockAuto.com has the correct parts for both new and used cars. They don't pay me enough. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. And you don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. You don't have to do that. And this company was founded by automotive engineers back in 1999. It's a family-run business, so they know what this is all about. They are going to cut out the middleman, and they offer reliably low prices. And you don't waste that time and money looking for these parts. It's right there, one-stop shop. RockAuto.com has the correct parts for both old and new cars. And the specific oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze, other chemicals that your car has to have. You can also write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box at checkout so they know we sent you. Great partner of ours. All the parts your car, truck, whatever need at rockauto.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Coming up this Friday, the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics, Friday, 7:30 Eastern on NBC. Todd, can we check on that? Because NBC will call the Stanley Cup Final. It's not Stanley Cup Finals, and it's not the opening ceremonies. It's the opening ceremony.
You are right. It's Stanley Cup Final, and I looked at several articles all referring to it as opening ceremony.
Okay, yeah, because NBC is big on that. It's not the finals or the ceremonies. It's final and ceremony. We'll get to more phone calls coming up. Ed Werder has more. ESPN NFL reporter. He covers the Cowboys, but he can speak on a variety of topics there with the NFL. In fact, Ed, let me start with, you more interested in finding out about Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson's immediate future?
I think I'm more interested in finding out about Deshaun Watson just because there are more compelling factors involved in terms of, you know, a player of his stature being sued, you know, being investigated by police, being investigated by the NFL. We know the NFL is not going to move in and put Aaron Rodgers on the commissioner's exempt list. This is something for the Packers and the player to work out. There are more elements involved in the Deshaun Watson decision, which occurs about a week from today. We'll see whether he reports and he's on the field and the NFL allows him.
And then I don't know if we've had breaking news with Aaron Rodgers. What Shefty reported yesterday to me wasn't breaking news because we had heard about this for the last couple of months there. I can't imagine a guy coming off an MVP season, one of the greats of all time, and we still don't know what he wants. Like, I just find that a great mystery, and nobody's been able to put any of these comments into context here, Ed.
Well, there's been a lot of speculation about what his end game is, and some of it is that he wants, you know, the general manager replaced. He certainly placed Gutekunst under a lot of scrutiny here. And if the general manager were threatened by the possibility of getting fired because of Rodgers, it seems like he would have already moved Rodgers by now, to me. I think just observing what Aaron has said over the past few weeks when he's been in public situations at a couple different golf tournaments, I get the sense that he knows he can't win right now. He'll take the best outcome he can get, and I think he'll play for the Packers this year eventually.
All right, you're covering the Cowboys. Cowboys open up camp today. The Steelers open up camp. They'll meet in the Hall of Fame game. It seems like everything is good in Dallas with the Cowboys. Is that correct?
Everything is good at the moment. Obviously, the man who manages the expectations so well here in Dallas, Jerry Jones, will speak to us in a couple of hours, really in person for the first time for more than a year. And with the Hard Knock cameras rolling, I have great expectations for what the man might say to us today. You know, he used to drive Troy Aikman absolutely crazy this time of year because back in the 90s, he would always predict a Super Bowl. And so anything short of that was a failure, which just drove the players insane. He's avoided saying such things recently, but I think expectations are and should be pretty high given what we've seen from Dak Prescott recovering, from Lael Collins, Tyron Smith. I mean, it all comes down to injuries, but they play in a bad division. I think it's, you know, Mike McCarthy, I think, is under some pressure this year. It's been a long time since he's won. The team he left has done nicely without him. The team he's come to has fared not so well, although there certainly were some extenuating circumstances his first year in Dallas last year.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure all of this out that, you know, I'm sure the reports will be Ezekiel Elliott's in the best shape of his career. And like it's always the verbal bouquets are being thrown out when it comes to the Cowboys, because I think the media, either consciously or subconsciously, wants the Cowboys to do well. Like when they, or at least have some kind of storyline there. Did Jerry Jones make the decision that he wanted Hard Knocks?
According to what the way the Cowboys have characterized it, they were asked to do it. You know, and Jerry doesn't really have any, he's not revolted by the idea of his brand being out there and being at the forefront in the NFL. He thinks it helps the entire league if the Cowboys are capturing a lot of media attention. So I don't know that they solicited it, but I think I don't think they mind having that opportunity, especially, you know, given, like I said, they have a very out front owner and general manager in Jerry Jones. He likes to promote his brand. He likes the opportunity to speak to the public himself. And so this arrangement will allow all of that to happen. Now, there have been times, I think, when coaches have been exposed, you know, in front of the cameras, given how intrusive they are, we're going to get a real sense of how Mike McCarthy runs his Cowboys football team. And maybe that'll be good and maybe it won't be. It hasn't been good for everybody.
Now, if you're going to ask one question to Jerry Jones, what's Ed Werder going to ask today?
Wow, that's a good question, Dan. I haven't given that enough thought. If I could ask one question to Mike McCarthy, I'd ask him about his experience with Aaron Rodgers and his experience with the Packers and how he thinks that whole thing plays out.
For Jerry, I like that. I like that. But Dallas fans would probably not be as interested in that.
And it might be the last time McCarthy takes a question from me. But I guess I would ask, you know, Jerry what how he feels like he managed the Dak negotiations and what disadvantages they now have to overcome because of what they wound up having to pay him, you know, probably 2 years late. They, you know, I think they created a bad situation for themselves when 2 years ago, they did what they said they wouldn't, and they honored Ezekiel Elliott with the highest paid running back contract in all of football at a time where the running back position has really been devalued, including here in Dallas by the coach he hired. I mean, to me, that's sort of a misfit situation. I know Zeke's in great shape. I think, you know, he's a terrific football player and among the best running backs in the league, but that's not the way Mike McCarthy plays football. I mean, last year when they started together, McCarthy in 13 years in Green Bay never had a running back finish in the top 10 in attempts. Zeke Elliott had more carries than anybody in football since he was drafted in 2016. So I think Zeke Elliott is done challenging for rushing championships, and maybe that's fine. I think he'd still be a huge part of a winning team if the right circumstances are created for him to dominate the closeout games and so forth, like Derrick Henry does in Tennessee. But I don't think it makes sense a year later to hire Mike McCarthy, a guy who has very little regard for the running game, when you paid Ezekiel Elliott to be the highest paid running back in football and, you know, spent all this money and draft collateral on arranging a great offensive line that's dominant up front under Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I'm still not sure the philosophy here. It comes down to defense. I've said this all along the last, well, whenever. It comes down to, if you win a championship, it comes down to somebody making a defensive play. And whether it's Malcolm Butler or Chris Jones with the Chiefs, like, it's a small thing and you go, oh, I got all these stars, all these offensive weapons. Everybody's putting up these great fantasy numbers. It comes down to, can you stop somebody at some point in the season? Can Dallas stop somebody?
Well, they couldn't stop anybody last year. They gave up a franchise record 473 points. But, you know, then, Dan, they've only played football in Dallas for 61 years. So small sample size. They allowed two of the three single highest rushing totals in an individual game in franchise history. They allowed 27 touchdown passes to wide receivers, the most in the NFL last year. So they were horrible across the board. And that's why Mike Nolan got fired after one season as a defensive coordinator. But that was that's a Mike McCarthy hire. So beyond all the bad decisions, and there were bad hires. And I think Dan Quinn is going to take a much more aggressive approach on defense. Obviously, they dedicated their draft to defense in a way they never have before. Their first six players were all defensive players. So I think that gives them a chance. But overall, Dan, to your point, I think the Cowboys see themselves or trying to achieve being the Kansas City Chiefs. They want to be a great offensive team, puts up a lot of points, makes a lot of explosive plays, and then just be good on defense. And maybe they can achieve – I know they can achieve the first part. I think they could be really good on offense if Dak Prescott stays healthy, which he's done every year. But last year, it's the defensive part of the equation that I'm not sure how long that's going to take. But if their goal is to be average, I mean, that seems attainable.
Ed Werder from the Mothership covering the Cowboys. More threatening team, the Chargers or the Rams, given the injuries that have happened, you know, Cam Akers with the Rams. But who do you think is more threatening this year?
Well, I like the Rams a lot. I covered them quite a bit last year after Dak got hurt and the Cowboys were out of contention and nobody was interested in them anymore. I really like the Matt Stafford dynamic, you know, with Sean McVay. But the Akers injury is a really significant one in my mind, having watched him and how much, you know, he became a dominant factor in the offense the second half of the year. But I mean, you got to love the Chargers. They play in a tough situation in the division they're in. Hard to imagine them winning the division over the Chiefs. But the young quarterback is fantastic, and we'll see what effect the coaching change has there. They are a team that can be really good on defense and on the other side of the ball. So to answer your question, I guess I like the Chargers as a sleeper, but I think the Rams probably still have a better chance of winning their division.
Cowboys played the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game. Your reaction when the Steelers decided to keep Ben Roethlisberger?
A little surprising given his age and the sharp decline in his performance. I remember I covered the Cowboys game against the Steelers late last year. The Steelers were, what, the last undefeated team in football? I think 11-0. And I thought it sounded ridiculous. I said this on somebody's radio show. I wasn't impressed with the Steelers at that time. You know, the emphasis was on getting the ball out of Roethlisberger's hands quickly. They couldn't protect him. They couldn't run the football. I'm not entirely surprised they gave him one more shot, given what he's meant to the organization and maybe given that they didn't think there was a better option out there in free agency. But I just don't know how well this is going to turn out for the Steelers this year.
Yeah, I was surprised as well. Unless they didn't see a quarterback that they could get or that graded out to what they wanted there. But it and Ben wasn't helped out by those wide receivers. Now you bring in Harris from Alabama. You know, is that running attack going to help out Ben a little bit more? But I was curious about that. Also, the Russell Wilson story that exploded, of course, right after the Super Bowl. Do you think that the Seahawks are comfortable with Russell Wilson long term?
I think so, but let's see how it plays out this year. I mean, he and Pete Carroll, from my understanding, have had a lot of really good dialogue about the circumstances that caused Russell Wilson to criticize the organization, having watched Tom Brady go win a Super Bowl with everything the Bucs did, you know, to accommodate him and allow him to play his best football. I mean, at the start of last year, we were talking about what a dominant player Russell Wilson was, and he was the best player in the league. He was going to win MVP. Really, they failed themselves on the other side of the ball for the most part. They did become too one-dimensional. I mean, Pete Carroll, to me, is always going to emphasize balance and running the football to the best of his ability. So if Russell wants to just go out there and freelance, you know, on a consistent basis, I don't know that that's going to be something Pete Carroll wants to move to. And I think Pete Carroll's established enough as in that organization and the way they're structured with John Snyder as a general manager that, you know, he could outlast Russell Wilson there should it come to that.
I'll leave you with this. The Cowboys more likely to make the NFC title game or miss the playoffs?
Well, they've done one a lot more often than they've done the other. So I'm going to say they're a lot more likely to miss the playoffs just because they haven't been in a championship game in 25 years.
What would the fallout be if they don't make the playoffs this year?
I don't know. I think it depends on the circumstances. I mean, you know, Mike McCarthy has seen the team he left go to consecutive NFC championship games in his absence. I can tell you his record, you know, over the last 2 years is really kind of bad. The last two full seasons he's had, his record in Dallas, 6-10, matched the fewest games that he won in a full season over 13 years in Green Bay. Now, there were extenuating circumstances, as I mentioned. He played 15 different offensive lines. He started four different quarterbacks. So it wasn't entirely his fault, plus all of the challenges that came with the pandemic and the limitations in the offseason for a first-year head coach. That being said, like I said, he made some bad hires. He coached some really bad games. Right from the start, the Rams season opener, but the Washington game on Thanksgiving Day, when they're 4 points down and he's running a fake punt, you know, from on 4th and 11 from his own end of the field. I mean, he made Barry Switzer look like a game management genius at times. So I think McCarthy, to a certain extent, is coaching for his job. If what we just said is more likely actually happens, if they miss the playoffs for the third straight year, depending on how it happens, I could certainly see Jerry making him the next Chan Gailey, which is the only coach he's ever fired after 2 years.
Has Barry Switzer ever publicly thanked Jimmy Johnson for giving him gift wrapping a Super Bowl?
You know, Barry Switzer said to me not too long ago, he said, look, you don't have to give me credit for winning a Super Bowl and for building, you know, a Super Bowl winning team, but at least I didn't screw it up. You know, there are other guys who would have gotten hired and would have screwed it up. I didn't screw it up. So I give him that much credit at least.
Play nice today, Ed. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dad. Good to talk to you.
That's Ed Werder. Ed Werder has more. Whenever we would do SportsCenter, it'd be like, and Ed Werder has more. And then you'd go to, you'd throw it to Ed Werder, and then he would have a story on the Cowboys. Ed Werder has more. We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Voice of the Bucks on radio, Ted Davis, their play-by-play guy, will join us coming up next hour. Had a great call And he was channeling Tom Petty with his championship call with the Milwaukee Bucks. Paulie sent me a note yesterday, last night. He's like, hey, U.S. women's team lost 3-0 to Sweden. And I go, all right, so? He goes, no, it's in the Olympics. I said, the Olympics started already? He goes, yeah, and the women's softball played too. I go, wait, opening ceremony is Friday. And then I forgot that you do have some sports that start before the opening ceremony to space them out. I guess that's a big deal. U.S. women losing to Sweden 3-0. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, U.S. Women's team hadn't lost in 44 matches. Mm. That's years, plural.
Yeah.
3-0 to Sweden.
All right. 3-0.
Sorry.
3-0. Yeah, man. That okay. That's a big deal. They're gold medal favorites?
Yes.
I'm guessing. Okay. Opening ceremony is still coming up on Friday.
Ceremony.
Yeah. Is the guy from Tonga going to be there all greased up? The guy with his shirt off?
He shows up once every 4 years?
Yes. I think he's the flag bearer for Tonga, and they lube him up, and then he walks in the opening ceremony. Yes.
Games before the opening ceremony don't count.
Well, tell that to Sweden.
That doesn't count.
Technically,
it's
they
a friendly.
Do. Techno-friendly.
That was an exhibition.
Yeah. Yes, Paulie.
Why don't we return serve for the Tongan guy and have The Rock come out all greased up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's...
But he's not an Olympian.
Well, who would know? Just put a wig on him or something.
The world would know that that's The Rock.
We got a couple other jacked dudes around here.
I'm guessing there are other guys who might be Olympians who are jacked that we don't need to bring in The Rock. All right, we got our poll question. Update the poll results there, Todd.
If my city could acquire an athlete, Patrick Mahomes, 63%, Giannis, 21%, Shohei, 16%.
Ooh.
I have a couple of cashews in the corner of my
I know.
Cheek.
Why are you eating?
I just wanted to have a little quick snack. I didn't realize it was poll question time.
Well, I know, but when the microphones go on, we're on.
It was too late for me to finish chewing before I didn't want to just finish chewing and then read.
Why don't you finish chewing? Turn off.
All right, I got it out of my teeth. If my city could acquire an athlete, this will sound a little better.
No. We're good. But I give you, there's a 5-minute break.
I know. And you spilled it to 5 minutes and 19 seconds.
Yeah. But I just said, I've told you guys, you can't eat on the air.
I panicked a little bit, just as you were saying, let's go to the poll question. And I'm like in mid cashew chew. I'm like, oh, no, really?
Jose in Florida joins us. Hey, Jose.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
So, you know, what I like about the NBA and not about Major League Baseball is they make it possible for athletes like Giannis, Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki to stay in their small market towns. I mean, that doesn't happen in baseball. The small towns are not small, but medium-sized markets, they're like a farm system for the bigger haves and the have-nots.
Yep, I think it's a great point.
I think that's part of the way they have the CBA structured. I'd like to see it changed.
Yeah. In fact, Giannis, after the win, had this to say about not joining a super team.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believed in me. They believed in us. Even when we were like, we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team. And, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
Yes, this stands out more than if he wins a couple of titles with a super team. Like, Milwaukee will never forget this. Never. If you go to a team that or a city that's used to winning championships, then you become just another one of the championship teams. They'll never forget this. They didn't forget the 71 Milwaukee Bucks to this day. You're immortalized there. Giannis scored almost 48% of his team's points in the finals. Second highest percentage in NBA Finals closeout game. Michael Jordan scored 52% of his team in the 1997 NBA Finals.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Eric in Wisconsin joins us on the program. Good morning, Eric. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. First time, long time. 6 feet, 195. So a couple of things. One, I want to call to give a little input on the Fritzie situation. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I heard you throw around the word, claustrophobia, which is a big misconception. What Fritzie is actually talking about is a little bit more of agoraphobia. These are fears of being able to escape. And so claustrophobia is when you are in confined space. There's a lot of different types of agoraphobia. The one in the Deer District is more about being in an open space, not being able to escape.
But what is the phobia of him being at home watching people?
It's a form of it because he's putting himself in that position. So it is thinking about being in that area. So there's all different types of fears, and Fritzie might be hitting, checking a lot of boxes here.
Would you advise, is there treatment for this?
There is treatment. There's actually, phobias are the thing that's the easiest to treat out of the long list of like mental health conditions. So there is hope. There is hope.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to share, DP, is, lifelong Bucks fan. I'm calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I saw a stat. I mean, I heard you just did the stat of the day, but I'm 36 years old. So my sports birth year, was about 1992. The Bucks won one division title in 33 years. That means they were the best team out of five in 33 years from 1986 to 2019.
All right.
2001. And so that's the kind of ineptitude we've been surviving with.
With Eric, thank you. And, we'll keep you on retainer. So, Todd, you suffer from agoraphobia.
That was interesting. But I don't know how the treatment is. Okay, let's start with putting you in the middle of 10,000 people. Then we'll make it 23,000.
I don't know if that's the treatment. I'm not quite sure.
It's like meds? It sounds like the treatment would be something like getting used to bigger and bigger crowds until you stop, having an anxiety attack about it. But it's interesting making the distinction between agoraphobia and claustrophobia.
Yeah. Yeah. So you suffer from agoraphobia.
I suffer from a lot of things, but I'll just add that to the list there.
But when you're on the show, it's agoraphobia.
All right. Yeah.
Let's come on. Go.
Yeah. What?
Nice. Diagnosed?
What?
Nice.
The lame Ricks. Agoraphobia.
Wrong way to wrap up hour two.
Oh, nice. Here we go with the mock headlines. I thought you would have just gone Limerick. Like, Limerick is...
I thought Limerick, but we had a caller earlier that was asking for mock headlines.
But we've had callers who say, don't do mock headlines anymore.
There have been calls that said I shouldn't say a word ever on any show.
But you don't listen to them, but you listen to the one person who says, hey, how about some mock headlines?
It's been a while since I've done the mock headlines, so I thought this would be a good day to do
that. Okay, I don't have enough time right now. But how about...
Like 11:54 Eastern.
No, at the start of next hour.
Right. That's fair.
I would prefer you did a limerick instead of the mock headlines. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but we're mixing it up a little bit. It's good.
You never, ever listen to me.
I don't.
Never.
I'm very stubborn.
Never.
Like
any guidance, any advice...
Yeah, people want to... Famous comedians want to write material for me. Nah, I got it. Obviously, I don't when no one laughs.
You don't listen.
No thanks, Chris Rock. I'll come up with my own jokes.
Sandler and his guys were going to write jokes for you.
Oh, Fritzie, he's not funny on his own. He needs a little help there.